As I'm doing that, the Lord says to me, now you repent. And I thought, what have I done? And the Lord said to me clearly, he said, you have spoken negative things about Adam to his mother, to my wife. And he said, and the enemy has taken your words and has said, even his own father says this against him. And now I'm broken. I'm weeping because I realized I've empowered the enemy's case against Adam.
I am Liz Wright. Welcome to Live Your Best Life. The only thing that matters now is living by the power of this wonderful new creation life. We're going to become an undefeatable force of radiating glory, and we are rising up strong now in this hour. Hi, family. Thank you for tuning in from all around the nations of the world to what's going to be a very important, empowering conversation today. My special guest joining me is a best-selling author. He's an international speaker. He's a global apostolic leader who moves in revelation and impartation, empowering the body of Christ around the nations of the world with hidden revelation truths from scripture that once applied, which he also teaches, bring breakthrough, significant breakthrough for our lives as he teaches us how to apply the victory of the cross into our lives in very specific ways. He was mandated by Jesus to teach us at this time on how the courts of heaven operate. It's my joy and my honor to welcome into the conversation with me today, Robert Henderson. Robert, welcome.
Thank you, Liz. It's such an honor to be with you. Bless you guys so much.
No, it's an honor to have you on. And like I said, I'm so excited because the message, the revelation understanding that you carry and the fruit of it is huge. And there are so many of us right now in the body of Christ, as you know, who are stuck, don't know how to effectively walk in the victory of the cross and to just apply and receive into our lives that victory. So this is a seriously important conversation. So I encourage you guys, if you can, next 30 minutes, stop your world. If you can, as long as you're driving, not driving, just get a notepad and just begin to write the revelation down that the Lord highlights to you, because it is life-changing revelation. Okay, so Robert, question one. When I was reading your book, I was really impacted by your vulnerability and you sharing in a very real way how you began to discover the truth of the courts of heaven and the power of the courts of heaven through the enemy's assignment to literally take your family out and your mandate out, which is, of course, the agenda of the enemy to block the purposes of God coming into the earth as he shuts us down. And obviously, so real time in very difficult circumstances, revelation was given to you that transformed your life. And then, of course, you were mandated to teach from there, from your experience in the scriptures. So can we start there, just for those who haven't heard you speak before, where the journey started for you?
Yeah, you know, I'd pastored for like 22 years, and we had stepped out about, prior to the court of heaven, we had stepped out for about 3 years. Traveling, teaching, it was all greatly blessed. But then it was like everything just came under attack. And I've been a man of prayer since 1980. I mean, which at that time was like, you know, 25 years probably of just very serious prayer on a daily basis. I mean, that's just what I did. And so I was accustomed to being able to pray through anything and get breakthrough regardless of what we might have been facing. But all of a sudden we hit this place, and for about a 2.5-3 year period, nothing. I mean, everything just was accumulating, it was like we would go through something, and before I could get through that, something else would pile on top. And there was just, we were in an absolute place of desperation. We ended up in an absolute place of desperation. I'm talking about with our children, with our finances, with our marriage, with everything. I mean, we were just in, the only area we weren't hit in at that point was physical issues. Everything else we were under attack, and I couldn't stop it. I mean, it didn't matter what I did, I couldn't stop it. And it was at that juncture that God began to reveal to me the court of heaven. And I began to realize, and this was like a revelatory understanding. I began to realize that the reason I couldn't get it stopped is the enemy had a legal right to do what he was doing, and that I needed to know how to go into the court of heaven, as it's revealed in Daniel 7, 9, and 10, and answer the case that was against me, which I had no idea there was a case against me, but to be able to answer that case that was against me. And that when I did that, when I was helped to do that, I mean, the breakthrough was instantaneous. It was
Wow.
instant. I mean, everything changed overnight. I mean, the attack stopped, and restorations just started flooding in, and we began to go through this real period of just having everything restored and all that. And I began to realize that so often we think that we're on a battlefield when in reality we're in a courtroom. And that's Revelation 19:11. I mean, as far as when Jesus says he's coming back on a white horse, and the scripture says that when he comes back to judge, which is judicial activity, and then make war. And the Lord said to me, notice the order. So he said, you have to know how to get judicial things in place on the basis of what I did for you on the cross. You need to know how to get that in place, then you can win on the battlefield. But if you go try to go to the battlefield and resist the devil without getting the judicial things in order, then you're not going to win, because the enemy still has a legal claim to resist you. And so the Lord began to teach me how to do that, and that changed everything.
Just fantastic. And of course, the evidence is there in your life and now many, many lives since then as they've started to apply the teaching. Okay, so there's three areas that I just wanted to ask you to define for those of us that are not clear on the languaging that you go into in
Yes.
the book, which provides a legal ground. So generational iniquities, bloodline curses, and trading. So I
Right,
just
okay.
thought, can we go there? So for people to
Yeah.
just help us get clarity on the terms.
Yes, absolutely. And I realize that these are terms that are not common things that we talk about in the body of Christ. We use other terms, but okay, so generational what bloodline issues,
Iniquities.
iniquities. Okay.
Iniquities and bloodline curses, and then the
Yes,
trading. I thought they're brilliant.
yes. Iniquity, is out of Exodus chapter 20, where the Bible says in that God said, I would visit the iniquity to the third and fourth generation. In other words, if somebody committed a sin, because iniquity is simply the history of sin in the bloodline. In Psalms 32, there are four levels of sin that are mentioned. There's sin, which is the sin against the holiness of God. That's what the word, when you look at it, actually. There's transgression, which is the sin against the authority of God. Then there's the word deceit, which is the sin against another person. It's a betrayal. But then there's the word iniquity, and that's the history of sin in a bloodline. And so we all know how to deal with sin against his holiness, sin against his authority, even sin against another person. We're kind of aware of those things in our life, but it's the sin in the bloodline, the iniquity, that most of us don't recognize or don't understand, and we don't even know what that would be. And what happened for me, let me just explain it this way. What happened to me was there was constant delay and denial in my life for 20 years. For 20 years, Liz, I literally could not get breakthrough. And things I prophetically knew God had promised me, I couldn't get into. And my theology said, well, if God promised it, it's going to come to pass. But I didn't realize that whenever God promises something, the enemy actually builds a case against you to stop you from being able to have what God has promised. And that's why it says in Daniel 7, verse 10, the court was seated, ready to hear cases, And the books were open because what's in the books is the prophetic destiny that we have in God. And so we present cases out of those books, but we have to know how to silence the voice of the accuser that was working against me. So what happened was, I had been denied and the promises had been delayed for 20 years, and I was absolutely frustrated and I didn't know what to do. And I'd actually become very much a pessimist and a skeptic because people would promise me things and I would think, oh, this is how it's going to happen. And then nothing would come out of it because they wouldn't fulfill their promise. And it just went on and on. And what happened was I just almost given up and just said, I'm just done. And one night I have a dream, and I actually have an understanding of the court at this stage, but I didn't know how to apply it. And so I have this dream, and in this dream, there was a judgment against me from a present day court because my great great grandfather had, through negligence, injured someone. And I knew that in the dream, and I woke up and I thought, it was like real in the natural word. And I was scared because I thought they're going to throw me in the prison. They're going to take away everything I own. There's a judgment against me. Then when I got awake, I began to realize, wait, that was a dream. Oh God, let it be a dream. And so I realized God was showing me that the iniquity of my great great grandfather, who had by through negligence injured somebody, and the Lord spoke to me and he said, he through negligence injured somebody and took away their dreams. Therefore, the enemy has claimed a legal right to take your dreams away. And that's why you can never come into the prophetic destiny I have for you. You have to go back and you have to deal with the iniquity of your great great grandfather. And of course, that's four generations. I mean, that's father, grandfather, great grandfather, and great great grandfather. So I went back and I began to deal with that. And we began to repent. And I felt this major shift. And what happened was, all of a sudden, in less than a week, someone called me that I had been waiting to hear from them, and they had just dropped me, and it was over with. I mean, I could call the name of major ministry, and told me they wanted me on their show. And I mean, won't bore you with the whole thing, but the bottom line was, we ended up going on that show because I had revoked the legal claim that would have stopped me from them having any interest in me, honestly. I revoked the legal claim, and when I did, we went on that show and we set records for the sale of books, for the influence that came out of that thing. It was just unbelievable. And it was a point of tremendous launching into destiny. But it was because I dealt with the legal claim in the bloodline that the Lord prophetically showed me that the enemy was using to resist me legally from coming into the destiny that God had for me. And so I teach that we have to know how to do that. Now, just real quickly, when I first started doing this, I would have people pray this prayer: Lord, I open my bloodline all the way back to Adam and Eve. And the Lord literally spoke to me and said, don't do that anymore. I'd been doing it for years. He said, I said the enemy could only use iniquity for four generations back. And he said, therefore, instead of giving him access by praying that kind of a prayer, you're giving him access to use things against you that I said are inadmissible in the courts. So instead of saying, I open my bloodline back to Adam and Eve, call into place my statute of limitation. Call into place and say only four generations. Because this, if I got to deal with iniquity all the way back to Adam and Eve, I can't do it. It's an impossibility. You could never undo all of that. I mean, the enemy would go back and dig stuff up, for millenniums. But watch this. But four generations, I can deal with. So what happened in my life, I actually got it all dealt with. So I very rarely, if ever, have an encounter where I've got to deal with another issue in my bloodline. I've already dealt with that. It's done. And so the enemy does. Now I deal more with the words of people against me that the enemy takes and says, this one says this against him. See, this is what happened with my son. My son was held in depression. He had been a very successful youth pastor. He couldn't, he was in depression. His wife had left him, divorced him. I mean, in a very wrong way. Bottom line, he had, could, had no access to his two-year-old little daughter, and was working in a convenience store, whereas he had been a very successful youth pastor. And I couldn't get him out of depression. And I was trying to tell him that God wasn't through with him, but he couldn't hear it. And so all of a sudden, I'm praying one morning, and the Lord says to me, bring Adam to my courts. And I thought, I don't know how to do this. But I thought, well, if you're telling me to, you're going to help me. So I just began to pray. And this is what I did. I said, Lord, I repent in behalf of Adam for any sin. I didn't even know if that was right or not, because I thought, I don't know if you can do this. I mean, on one level, I don't know that you can do that. But on another level, it feels right. Well, I later was going to find 1 John 5:16, that if you see one sinning a sin not unto death, you can ask life and God will give them life because you're representing them before the Lord. And so I began to repent in behalf of Adam for any issues in his life that had allowed some of this to happen. And when I did, here's what I found out later. It didn't cause him to be forgiven. Only Adam's repentance could bring him to forgiveness. But my repentance in his behalf could revoke the enemy's legal claim to use those things against him. And so what I did is I repented, but as I'm doing that, the Lord says to me, now you repent. And I thought, what have I done? And the Lord said to me clearly, he said, you have spoken negative things about Adam to his mother, to my wife. And he said, and the enemy has taken your words and has said, even his own father says this against him.
My
And
God.
now I'm broken. I'm weeping because I realized I've empowered the enemy's case against Adam. And so I began to repent for all the negative things I'd said, ask for the blood to speak for me and for my words, and that those words would be annulled and that the enemy would not be allowed to use them and all this kind of thing. And as I'm doing that, the Lord said, I mean, he was being so gracious. He said, now, he said, declare Adam's destiny. I didn't realize God was actually walking me through a process of repenting, silencing the voices that were against Adam. Now I was going to prophetically declare his destiny. And as I did that, I was going to be presenting a case in his behalf. That my repentance had dismissed the case against him. And I, by the way, I've been praying for Adam for 2 years and nothing had moved. And so now I'm presenting a case for him by reminding God of the prophetic destiny that Adam had. Because on the day Adam was born, the Lord said to me, how beautiful upon the mountain are the feet of those that bring good news. So I began to remind God of that prophetic word that had been spoken about Adam. And as I'm doing this, the Lord said, now revoke and rebuke the spirit of depression. Now, I had rebuked that spirit many times in 2 years. It would never leave. But now, because I had been in the courts and got a verdict against it,
Yeah.
okay, through now I said, you spirit of depression, I command you to let my son go now in Jesus' name. And I just rebuked that thing. It took about 15 minutes to do all that. I got up and I thought, wow, I don't know what just happened, but something happened. Well, a week and a half later, Adam called me, and he never called me. I mean, he was in such a state. And I answered, I said, hey, Adam. He said, hey, Dad. He said, can I talk to you for a minute? And I said, well, sure. And he said, I don't know what happened. He said, but a week and a half ago, all the depression left me. And I want to do God's will. And
Come on.
let me tell you where Adam is now. So he was working a convenience store. Adam lives in a town here in the States of 3,500 people, a little town. He took a church that had five people in it. That church now has 1,200 people in it on Sunday morning because of the anointing, because he's an evangelist, how beautiful on the mountain are the feet of those that bring the news. And people are him and his wife, they're just flocking to them. And they are literally apostling an entire region that they're living in there. But Adam will tell you, that the court of heaven saved his life. That's what he says. He said,
Yeah.
when my, he said, I didn't even know my dad had done it. He said, but all I knew was that the depression just left me. And
Yeah.
that began to radically change our lives, just
Oh
change
my
our lives.
gosh. Oh my gosh. I mean, what a
And it still changes our lives till
stunning.
today.
Yes, stunning testimony. Okay. There's going to be many, many people right now going, okay, talk me through the process. Obviously, this is dealing with in the courts generational iniquity, like you've just testified. It deals with any kind of demonic access into our lives, bloodline curses, and of course, the power of speech, which you just highlighted then. It's so important, isn't it? The life and death is in the power of the tongue, literally. We can literally speak life or we can speak death over people, and it's very real. Okay, so I want to ask you, can you, in a synopsis, ex empower us, give us keys? How do we walk through a court case?
Yes, and that's, of course, that's what everybody really, really wants. Here's the way I do it.
Yeah,
Okay.
yeah,
Okay.
yeah.
So let's just say, I mean, listen, I've seen financial breakthrough in our life. I've seen our family completely restored, and I have three sons that pastor their own churches, that have raised up and pastor their own churches. My two daughters work for me. Another son is in the business world, and we have watched the blessing of God come on us in a tremendous way. That we know God always intended. But so here's what I do. I go into the courts and I begin to make my request. I say, Lord, I know that this is your passion for me. I know that you want my family restored. I know that you want financial breakthrough to come. I know that you want healing to come to my body. I know that all in any other things, I know that this is what is your passion. The Bible says the court is seated and the books are open in Daniel 7:10. So I come before the courts and I say, Lord, as I enter the courts, I acknowledge that you are God, the judge of all. I worship you, I acknowledge you. Secondly, now I begin to present my case, I make my request to God. Now, when I make my request to God, the enemy can stand up, if you will, in the court. And I'm going to be very practical here. And he can say, but I have a case against him that says that he can't have that, that there's iniquity in his bloodline, that there's issues in his life, whatever. Okay. Somebody said, well, how do I know what those are? Well, here's what I do. Like I was praying with somebody the other day, just the other day, and I had them pray a prayer. And all of a sudden, I felt guilt in my life because of a certain issue towards somebody that I had. And I realized the Lord was saying, the enemy's building a case against you because you have a wrong attitude toward this person. And so I said, Lord, and I realized that thing in the back of my mind that sometimes we all feel when we're praying that this is the reason God's not going to do it for me, is because the enemy is using that to bring an accusation against us. Well, here's what you do. I stop and I repent for that. And I say, Lord, any word the enemy is speaking against me that's being used to bring an accusation as to why I can't have this, I repent of that and I use Hebrews 12:24. And I thank you that the blood of sprinkling is speaking for me better things than that of Abel. And that Abel's blood cried for judgment, but your blood cries for redemption and forgiveness. And so I come into an agreement with that blood, and I'm asking for your blood to speak for me. And literally, Liz, I will feel, you will feel all that condemnation just lift because you've just answered the accusation. Now, if there's issues in the bloodline, I use Colossians 2:14. I say, now, Lord, even in addition to that, any handwriting of ordinance that's against me that the enemy has brought a case from my bloodline, I repent in behalf of my bloodline, and I ask that every handwriting of ordinance is removed and it's taken out of the way, having been nailed to your cross. Because, see, those kind of statements that Paul made, those are actually legal statements that we should remind the court of. See, I come into the court and I remind the court, this is Jesus's legal work, because everything Jesus did on the cross is legal. Everything. And so I come into the courts and I remind the courts of the legal work. And I say, on the basis of what Jesus did, let every word against me be silenced that's coming against me from my bloodline. Okay, so I remove all those. Now I come and I say, now, Lord, let there be a verdict rendered that lets me have what I'm asking. Okay, because I've made the request, I've answered the accusation. Now I'm asking for God, the judge of all, to render a verdict for that to be a reality in my life. And that I receive out of that verdict what has been rendered to me by a judgment. And sometimes what I have to do is I have to say this. I say, Lord, as I'm standing in your courts, I'm asking that a divorce decree would be issued from your courts as judge that would revoke the enemy's rights to harass me on any level. That divorce decree is revoked, or that divorce decree removes the enemy's right, and that now, because that judgment's been set in place, I could have the very thing that I've requested. Then what I do is I just begin to thank God. I say, Lord, thank you that I'm receiving this breakthrough, that my children are coming into an alignment, that finances are being released, and all these kind of things that are occurring out of that. And you make your case before the Lord in regards to those things.
So brilliant. So brilliant. Thank you for putting it so concisely and so practically. And I love what you said. There is a statute of limitation
Yes.
on the accuser of the brethren. He cannot go beyond four generations and accusing us. I think that's absolutely brilliant and just so clearly communicated. And also the fact that you're saying, the court seated Daniel, the court seated in the books are open, the books of the Lord's purposes for our life that were decided upon before the foundation of the earth, right? That's the battle. The enemy does not want the purpose of God to be brought
That's right.
forth through his people. So that's the whole resistance. So when we realize that, like you say, we realize God is for us. The work of the cross, the finished work of the cross of Jesus is absolute. It's legal. We are in receive mode. We just have to agree with the truth of what's
Amen.
happened and receive the benefits that glorifies him and remove the enemy from being able to have any access or influence into our
Amen.
life. And the power as well, it comes across when you speak of purity of heart. Really stewarding the attitudes of our heart and mind and our speech, because we are way more powerful than we understand. We are literally here through our union with Jesus now, bringing forth the purposes of God in the earth. And so I think this is why your teaching's so essential, because we're in a time where the Lord really is raising us up to be able to govern the earth and
Amen.
recognize the power and authority that we have. So thank you. You're such a blessing, and it's such a needed message.
Well, thank you, Liz. One thing I would say is that what you just said, all of us start off as the defendants in the court. You can go to Zechariah 3. Joshua the high priest was the defendant. He had on unclean garments. Okay. Well, God cleaned him up. When he cleaned him up, he moved him from being a defendant to being a judge in the courts, because we can stand in the place as a part of the process of the court, and we get to do what you just said of establishing the kingdom rule of God into the cultures of the earth. I mean,
It's
that's
phenomenal.
literally the place that God brings us into ultimately in the courts of heaven.
It's phenomenal, isn't it? And
Yes.
we partner with him in the judgment of evil to evict it off this
That's
planet
right.
and bring his kingdom. And this is how, as we simply walk in humility and truth, just
Amen.
profound. So profound, Robert. I could talk to you for hours. Thank you.
It is my honor. Thank you for having me.
Oh my gosh, of course. And guys, do obviously, I really recommend that you get hold of Robert's book. He's available on Amazon. We'll put the link below the show, because this is powerful, powerful content. So, Robert, thank you.
You're
And guys,
welcome.
thank you too for giving us your precious time. I know you will have been empowered from today's conversation. Have the most brilliant week. We agree for freedom after freedom after freedom to manifest into every battle that you've been facing in your life. It's time. So, yeah, have the most amazing week. And I look forward to being with you again next week. God bless. Experiencing God's love every day. is my new devotional. I have created it to help you move into and live from the most powerful experience, most transformational experience any of us can ever have, which is every day, whether you're beginning your day this way, whether you're needing to reset your life through the course of every day, you can switch on and listen and read, because you're going to be receiving a devotional from me every day, an audio and a written devotional, where you can reset yourself. You can literally, you have a few minutes, just sit back and re-engage into the experience, the reality that you are loved by God. It's life-changing. So if this sounds like something you need in your life right now, jump on to lizwright.org and you'll be able to get it. I look forward to hearing your testimonies of how experiencing God's love has changed your life every day.